Start the party, Dan.
Oh no, you got upset online. Looks like you're having a real bad time.
Should have just ignored what I said, but now I've got proof that you read it. And for me, that's all I need. It's what I live for, it's the air that I breathe. Cause I'm rude, I'm mean, and I'm not sorry. Welcome everybody to the block party.
Yes. Dan, are you not playing the theme?
Guess it's not working.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fine. Who cares?
That's okay. We'll just, I was hoping you would do a woo in there. Yeah.
That's what you were hoping for?
I didn't want to over instruct you.
Right.
But I said, say it like you just hit a home run.
Yeah.
And by saying that, okay, well, there's the theme.
Sorry. Didn't think it was going to go there.
Anyway, but I was hoping you would punctuate it with a woo in there.
You wanted the woo.
I could, like, you know how, like, with like a home run, you would do like a woo, you know, and you nailed it. You pulled it off and you started with it too. So that was, you got that 100%.
Well, yeah, I tried my best. Hello, friends, idiots, and friends who are also idiots. Welcome to your favorite podcast about social media and rejection. It is Blocked Party. This is episode number 130. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And so, yeah, listeners, if this is maybe your first time listening to the show, or if you've been listening for a while and you're not sure what's been going on, every week, Stefan tells me how he wants me to do the Start the Party, Dan.
Yes.
So that's what we were talking about. So this week, the instruction was that I was to be jacked up like I just hit a home run. And we'll have our guest weigh in on how well she thinks I did as well. She's a returning guest to the program. We're thrilled to have her back on the show. She has a new newsletter out on Substack called Trashberg. Ashley Feinberg is here. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I was actually thinking about the intro a lot because I feel like if you did just hit a home run, you would, A, not be making a lot of noise because you'd be focused on running, and B, I think you'd be a little out of breath in general from the excitement, A, and also from the running, that I don't feel like that loud of a woo would have been accurate necessarily.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
okay. So, but it's like a home run trot though, right? Like you're not wouldn't be sprinting. You'd be like jogging. It's a light jog.
Yeah, what I was thinking, Ashley, was that I hit like a no doubter. Because sometimes, yes, you hit the ball and you're like, you're not sure if it's a home run. So then, yes, you're like sprinting to first.
You hit it out of
the mind. Yeah. If I was super jacked up that I just hit a home run, I just fucking crushed the ball. Like this is just, I know it's gone the second I hit it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be clear, I know what a home run is, like theoretically, but like, I don't, the details escape me to a degree.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that is actually what this podcast is. We bring guests on who don't know anything about sports and we explain it to them.
Yes.
And that is the type of podcast that people love. They love when two white guys bring women on and talk to them, explain sports to them. It's their favorite. 100%. Is there any sport you like, Ashley, or is
no,
it all
no.
sport?
No. I like watching curling a lot during the Winter Olympics. Unfortunately,
yes.
It only comes four times a year. There's a lot of curling on TV over here.
I feel like the last time you were on, we talked about curling maybe because John obviously is like...
As soon as I said that, you said yes. I had like a brief flashback to like some curling discussion. So that sounds right. But
yeah, I think at some point it got brought up. And I mean, John obviously is like thrilled to discuss it whenever it comes up. And I'm excited to hear about it too, because it is very interesting to me. Like I do enjoy watching it when it's on TV. In Canada, it is on TV all of the time.
It's
like
fucked up.
Every
it should be more sweeping in all sports in general. Like it's a delight to watch. It seems like a lot of fun to be doing. I don't understand why more sports don't have active sweepers in the middle of the action.
I feel it like the fun. Closest you get is like basketball when the guys come on and like mop up the court during the play.
Yeah, or like a Zamboni in hockey.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's basically a big broom.
Well, and they've got the ice scrapers, right? Where they skate around with the shovels and they're like shoveling up.
That sounds right. Yeah.
The snow. Yeah, so that's pretty close as well. But you're talking about someone sweeping on the team and like participating and using a broom.
Yeah, I would like cleaning in general to be like a requirement for a specific position in all sports.
Okay. Mm. What about people at like a college campus doing like Quidditch? What about those people? Does that count? Like the people, have you seen that? The people who like sit on the brooms and run around?
I've seen videos
of
it. It's very upsetting to like think about in general. So I don't really have any opinions on that specifically.
The only thing I think that I would like, I know that there is one set of rules for like human Quidditch where the...
As opposed to what Quidditch?
Yeah,
well,
wait.
No, well, as opposed to like the fantasy Quidditch, like we can't fly
the real
brooms.
Magical one, yeah.
The real you mean Muggle Quidditch. Then,
yes,
right?
Sorry, yeah, Stefan, okay. My apologies. Muggle Quidditch.
Yeah. Isn't Muggle Quidditch just like polo?
Kind of,
horses.
It's kind of close, right?
Yeah.
With like more shit going on, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's one way that you can play it, which I don't think that every like university does it this way.
Yeah.
But there's a version of it where the golden snitch is a person.
Yes.
So they dress all in yellow and they're free to run around anywhere on the university campus and they get like a 10-minute head start. And then the seekers,
it's like the full campus.
That's a lot, I feel
so
like.
So the Quidditch is being played on the field and it takes like an hour or whatever. And then the two seekers have 50 minutes within that hour to run around the university campus and attempt to find the golden snitch. And then obviously if they find it, they phone in to the referee or whatever. And they're like, hey, we caught the snitch. Yeah. The game's over.
I love when someone uses a cell phone in the middle of a sports game. to like phone someone.
That is just polo with like an added element of the most dangerous game.
That's true. Yes. I like this version of it better because I think I would be good at being the snitch and just like running away and hiding. Yeah, I'm small. Yeah. I'm quick.
Tiny,
I'm slippery.
You're fast.
Yeah. It's impossible to find someone after 10 minutes.
On like a big campus, like I feel like there's probably rules like they can't go inside buildings, I would assume.
Yeah, there's probably some sort of like maybe it's not the whole campus, but there's like a pretty big boundary that they can be in. Yeah.
And do they still, and they have to be like caught and tagged? It's not just like see them. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, you gotta catch. Like, you gotta catch them. Yeah.
Right.
Like tackle them.
I don't know if tackle.
Probably like two hand touch.
Yeah, I think just like, or maybe it's that they have like a flag or something.
Oh, like flag
so you
football.
Just
like
grab
baton,
the flag
yeah.
and then you can run back to the field. Like
to
I
be
got
like,
the,
I got it.
Yo,
yeah.
I caught the, yeah, maybe that's what they do instead of the cell phone
sounds,
thing.
This sounds
you
fun.
To carry the person, I think. If you're going to play the human without magic, which I assume you have to, like, you're, like it's a physical feat to carry the person. You should like add some sort of
that's true, actually.
To it.
That would be sick if you had to carry them. I am also thinking of the time when Harry caught the golden snitch in his mouth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did that happen?
Great moment.
Maybe that's an option.
He swallowed it, right?
If you know what I mean. That's like a little X-rated version of Muggle Quidditch.
Did that actually happen? Or is that like a Rule 34 thing? That's not like a
fetish
thing.
No. One of the times he was like chasing the snitch.
And flew into his mouth?
Yeah, I think that, if I remember right, it's like, that was the one where he was being, like, fucked with
like Professor Quirrell was...
was, like, fucking around and like, making his broom go all haywire or whatever.
And, they thought it was Snape, but he was actually,
Snape was trying to help.
He was trying to help him.
Because they saw Snape muttering under his breath, and they're like, it's him! But then they were... Yes, you're right. It was Professor Quirrell.
I miss when it was okay to like Harry Potter, which I guess just means I miss being a child.
And not, not being online.
Yeah. As a child, I remember getting the book in like the first one in like 1998 or something for Christmas.
I went to all the midnight book releases.
Oh,
was
my
like,
God. Yeah.
Me too.
Fucking into it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was and like the movie, we went to the like opening night of the first movie and like people were dressed up and it was an experience. My parents loved it, you know, and then, obviously.
And then
you know.
Now we found out it has one Jew and the rest are TERFs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think there are, the goblins in the bank, right? Wasn't that a whole thing where...
Oh, yeah. those are the metaphorical Jews, but there is one single Jew that she...
What's his name again?
It was Daniel Gold. It wasn't Daniel Gold.
Isn't
it
like
something...
Like Andrew Goldstein or something? Like, it's something really stereotypical.
Yeah. Let's see.
His name was Mazel Tov Heinstein.
It's so close to something. And then there was Cho Chang.
Anthony Goldstein.
And then Cho Chang is classic. That's incredible.
And then obviously, like, all of her
representation
stuff
matters.
The past few years, like, she's gone. I guess she's maybe always had these beliefs, but it's just been, and it's like affected, like, at my old apartment, I moved last fall, but John, you know my old apartment, and Dan knows it as well. There was a big billboard outside.
Yeah, the billboard.
And someone put up the We Love J.K. Rowling
Tough.
We heart J.K. Rowling billboard, like right outside my apartment, and then camped out there with a few other like TERFs on like lawn chairs, and people were going by and like yelling at them and like vandalizing the billboard. It was really funny. And then it's the type of thing where they would post videos of it. They'd be like, you know, people were coming by and like throwing paint and like tomatoes at us and calling us like stupid assholes and stuff. And it's like, you don't have to post the video of you getting like owned. Like that's my favorite mindset of people online who are like in the wrong and are being like made fun of, is when they post like a video or they post
like hilariously like destroying.
They'll post like a screenshot of their DMs or their replies. And it's people like being very immature and calling them like stupid childish names and stuff. And it's like, you don't have to like advertise that you're being owned online, because it's so much funnier that way now. That's my favorite thing.
If I did that, that'd be my whole Twitter feed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know,
I'm getting owned every day, you know? Yeah. So like, it's tough. I do remember when Order of the Phoenix came out, I was 18 and I went to the midnight release of that.
That's pushing.
And I was like waiting in pardon?
That's pushing it.
Well, this is what I'm about to get to that. So I was waiting in line outside of the bookstore, and I just remember some like older kids, probably not that much, like, you know, maybe 20 or something.
Wait, how old were you?
I was 18.
So they were adults.
Okay. Sure, yes, okay. In my mind,
were you dressed
older,
up?
No. I mean, I just look like Harry Potter anyway. I had glasses on and dark hair. Yeah. Basically, I had no beard back then.
Yeah.
I just remember this like car like drove by, because the bookstore was on a fair. It was like an independent bookstore where I grew up, and it was sort of on a, like a main ish road.
Yeah.
And they just drove by, and they were just like, Harry Potter, woo! And for some reason, that just made me. So embarrassed.
I was getting over it.
Yeah. Like, that was like the word. It was way better than them just being like, you know, fuck you, or like losers. Like that would, you just be like, oh, whatever. But
there's like an element of mystery. Like you have to really like wonder like what they meant for. Like,
yes, exactly. Like but it seems sarcastic. Like it seemed
like they were being ironic, I believe. Yeah.
Yes. And I felt I was like, cause I was already debating, right? I was in grade 12, 18. I was already like, should I be? I probably shouldn't be hanging up for this, you know? So it's like, you're just hoping that nothing like that happens. And then it does. And you're like, I knew I should have just come tomorrow at like 11 a.m. I could have walked in here quietly and it wouldn't have been a big deal. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I remember that's like the first viral video I remember was the release of like Half-Blood Prince, I think. And the guy driving by in his car and yelling, Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And then
I forgot about the
whole lineup just being like, no. And someone's like, no, you bitch. And it's just like so mad. I mean, Dan, if you could pull up the video, I don't know
see if I can find it.
Okay. Cause that, like, I feel like Half-Blood Prince was like what, 2006, 2007, maybe? And I remember
05,
that as like,
probably.
That's like the first
Order
viral
of the Phoenix was 03. It's probably 05.
That's second last one, I think, right?
Yeah. Half-Blood Prince is 06. Yeah.
And then that is the big thing is that Snape kills Dumbledore in it. And that was like the big like reveal and big twist.
2005.
So, okay. But I remember seeing that video on like E-Bombs World or something back then, you know? And I mean, it affected me. I was like, oh, this is really funny. This is great. I love this. Let us know if you find it, Dan, because I would
I found it. It has ebombsworld.com in the corner.
That's gotta be it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if there's any like horrible like words or slurs said in it.
We're good.
Okay. You got it? Okay. All right, let's hear it.
Give me 30 seconds here.
Okay. I think the funny thing with this is just gonna be the video quality, because they must have filmed it on like a digital camera and not because there were no
in
camera 05? Phones.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't have a phone camera, no.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Oh my God. This video is 16 years old. What the fuck?
We're so old, man.
Oh my God. I know.
I saw the Sorcerer's Stone in theaters on opening night. I remember that. And then
you're going with the American name, I've noticed. Not the Philosopher's Stone.
No, that's the other way around.
Isn't Philosopher the
Philosopher's
is the British one. Sorcerer's is the American one.
Yep. Oh. Got it ready here,
John. Come on. Okay, here we go.
Sorcerer, because they didn't want it to be sorcerer in America.
No, I think the idea was that people would be like, "What's a philosopher?
What's a philosopher?
Yeah,
that makes more sense. Actually,
yeah. Okay.
Getting on American stupidity is much better than. Yeah. Okay.
E-bombs. Okay, it's got the E-bombs World watermark. Here we go.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Here it is.
Dumbledore. Hey, Snape kills Dumbledore.
There it is. There it is.
No, bitch.
Oh my god. Well, it's funnier than I remembered.
That was opening night, right?
Yeah. That was the midnight release.
So,
yeah. So they had to have like gotten how were they figured it out that quickly?
I think it was leaking. It leaked online like the night of or like the day before or something. Or
I didn't know that.
Because it probably like released in England like earlier that day or something. And then it got posted,
yeah, that makes sense.
You know, on some forum somewhere. And then like obviously if it happened now, it would leak like immediately. Right. But like, God, that's just, it's so funny. And just the video quality is so bad. I mean, it looks like a Taliban execution or something. It's just so grainy.
I remember seeing the first one opening night, the movie, and the projector broke.
Oh.
And it was,
oh God,
it was
chaos. Yeah.
Chaos. Yeah. It was crazy. I think that came out in 01, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm 16 at this time. And I went with my mom and sister. And yeah, it was like, because it was playing on two screens.
Oh,
so
shit.
The other screen was fine.
Yeah.
And ours, oh, so then there was like talk of like, oh, I'm just going to go stand in the other theater. It's fine if I miss the first like 20 minutes. Or it was like nuts. And it was just like a local theater. It wasn't like a Cineplex or whatever in White Rock where I grew up. And it, oh my God, man, it was nuts. And then I remember... They were like, we think we can get it fixed for the night show, because they were supposed to play it twice. No, like that night. So I think what they did was they were like, yeah, come back. And I think they pushed like the first night show later. I don't know how they did it, but I do remember seeing it that night. But it started at like 10. My sister would have been like 13, so it was like way past her bedtime by the time we got it. Was yeah. It was chaos, but it was fine, I guess.
God.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love
good
that.
Good times. Harry Potter, man. Back when we used to have things we liked.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't feel like we're ever going to have anything like that again. Like the internet just ruins everything.
I like really genuinely enjoyed, not just because it was like bad.
it's like, this is like the hardest question we've ever been asked on the show, I think.
Yeah, when was the last time you just purely enjoyed something? Well, unironically and without
you know
any
what that's
malice.
Not I loved like the Righteous Gemstones, like anything Danny great. McBride, I think I will unironically
because the
shows themselves are kind of mean-spirited too. Like I've been watching Vice Principals, and that is like incredibly it's so funny, but it's so mean-spirited, but fucking funny also. And then
got really mad at that show for like a lot of good reasons, but it was great.
Yeah. It's
so
funny.
I loved that show. I'm a teacher, so it was great.
And then Righteous Gemstones is incredible. And then like the casting news this week that came out for that, I was like losing my mind.
Jason Schwartzman, Eric Roberts, and Eric Andre.
Are all
recurring cast too. Not just like,
I'm
like, you know that Jason Schwartzman's going to be like a weird pastor that like moves into their town or something, or like maybe like a Buddhist who's like trying to steal like he's trying to steal their thunder or whatever.
Eric Andre. Yeah, it's a great show. I mean, okay, so there is some stuff that we unironically like, right? I like coffee. I like my cat.
I like coffee, but like as far as like I'm just thinking of like
an entertainment
product. I'm older now, like, but I don't know that there's anything where I would be like, I need to have this the second it comes out or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
like a midnight release, like something like that.
Like that just felt like a simpler time, you know.
Yeah, just like giving yourself to like something you like love.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I feel like even now, if there's like a midnight release of something, so many people online would have like called me a pussy, and I would just be like, okay, well, I'm not going to that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that, I just would have been talked out. Like if I was 16 now and there's like a midnight release or something, all my friends would have just been really mean to me, and I'd be like, you're right, I can't go to that.
Yeah,
I can't tell how much of this is like because I think it's funny, but like I am genuinely very, very, very excited for whatever the next fucking Avatar sequel is.
But doesn't that, is that not a little bit ironic, though?
I think at this point, it's gotten so, like, mixed together. That's impossible for me to, like, tell entirely. But, like, the feeling of joy is the same. So, like, that's, I feel like it's the best I can do at this point. And
that's true. Did you, so you liked the first Avatar?
Yeah, I mean, I liked the first Avatar. I mean, it was great. It was very fun to watch. And then, like, as time went on, I, like, as more people hated Avatar, I became more insistent that it was like a great and perfect movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're making 18 sequels is the most incredible thing that could happen to me. And so I'm very, very excited for number two.
I saw the first one. Like, honestly, it was like a good theater experience. Like, the 3D stuff was like quite good.
Yeah, it was very cool. Especially at the time, it was like, this is fucking insane.
I think even now, like, it was because, like, no one is really doing, it seems like 3D has just completely fallen off. No one really cares about it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's pointless unless, like, you're doing it specifically for that reason.
But like, Avatar in 3D was, like, quite cool in, like, 2009 or whenever it came out. And I think it would hold up. I'm sure, I don't think I'll be there opening night for the new one necessarily.
I would absolutely go opening night for Avatar.
I did love that screenshot of all of the, like, sequels that are supposedly coming out once a year, every year until, like, 2040, where it was like, we haven't had one in however long it's been, 12 years or 10 years or whatever it's been. And then we're supposed to get one per year consistently for the next, like, 10 years.
The Avatar Twitter account is very active still. Throughout the filming of all these sequels, it's been very active. And they, like, did this photo of, like, a side by side of, like, whatever some new kid actor they got for the sequel, like, when they first started filming it versus, like, what he looks like now, and he's, like, gone from, like, 8 to, like, being 25 years old somehow. And, like, I imagine they must have finished filming all his shit, or else it's gonna be like a Boyhood kind of thing where it's just,
I was,
like,
just about to, like, say that time. I was like, Avatar's actually Boyhood now. They just changed the story completely. Yeah. It's just a, man, that movie was horrible, wasn't it?
I hated Boyhood so much.
I have not seen it, but it's not.
I've seen a movie that you haven't.
I know. Yeah.
Holy shit. I didn't even think that was possible.
I know.
That is incredible. Whoa. Yeah. I saw it in theaters because I was like, oh, this is such an interesting, that's, like, the only thing that gets me excited about a movie is if it's
sort
of, like,
you went because there was a gimmick. You went to see it.
Yes. If it's a cartoon or if there's some sort of, like, saleable gimmick, that's what gets me to go to see something.
Oh my God.
And
I mean, it was cool to see, like, oh, like, that's the same kid, but, like,
but it was boring.
That, yeah,
tell a fucking story. Am I right, guys?
I took the photos and, like, it gotten the same effect.
Totally. You're 100% right. It would have been better as a book. Release a text, like, you know, there's always color inserts in, like, books. Like, do that. Just have, like, color inserts
for each,
like,
year. Yeah.
Yeah, like a photo album of this kid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I need. I don't give a shit. And especially, like, the kid thing was sort of interesting, but then it's like, you know, Ethan Hawke growing up isn't very interesting. It's like, I've seen Ethan Hawke grow up. I watched Gattaca and I watched whatever other thing. You know, it's like, I've seen him grow up. I don't need this sort of timeline for him. Yeah. He's been famous for a long time.
I mean, what I'm hoping for with Avatar, if when the sequels come out, is that means the message boards come back as well. Because, like, the Avatar forums are so incredible.
Oh, really? I've never seen them.
Oh my God. I mean, back in, like, 2012 or whatever, 2011, when they were, like, really hopping, my friends and I would go on and pretend to be, like Serbian guys or, like, Croatian guys, but, like, Avatar fans, and then, like, get into fights about how, like, it's better to be a Serbian Avatar fan than a Croatian Avatar fan. Oh, and just, like, take over all of their threads until we got banned. But, like, everyone posting on that forum, they have, like, the Avatar, like, derangement syndrome or whatever, where they think Pandora is real and they get depressed because they can't go to Pandora.
Really,
I'm so excited for that to come back. Because
that,
like,
that's, like, my dream come true. I can't believe I've never seen that before.
Oh, I mean, you should check out, I think it's just avatarforums.com, maybe. I'll send you a link, Ashley, because it's incredible. And there are still people posting on there, and they do, like, meetups and stuff where they, like, dress up as the
Stefan, there's a few
the Navi.
Here.
The Navi.
The Navi. Yeah.
So I'm just looking it up right here. There is a Avatar Forums page on Twitter. Where it says the official Avatar Forums page on Twitter supporting all the fans of the films worldwide.
Okay.
The Navi Nation creation.
Okay.
But then they
Navi
haven't
Nation.
Tweeted since 2020.
Okay.
And then, but then there's also, if you just search avatar forms into Google, it looks like there's
a Tree of Life message board.
Tree of Souls.
Tree of Souls. Yes, that's the one. Yeah.
So Tree of Souls is the first one. And then Shroud of the Avatar is the other one. Those seem to be the two big ones.
Okay. There was one that was just avatar forms. I think it might be gone at this point, but Tree of Souls, I think, is a fairly active one.
It looks like it's pretty dead. Although, so this is actually really, really funny. So if you look at all the threads, none of them have been posted in that recently. Like there's ones like October 2020,
yeah.
April 2nd, 2021, April 11th, 2021, November 19th, 2020. And the only one that's been posted recently is just sequel discussion. So people are still fired up about the sequels. They're like ready to
that
go.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So let me see. Okay, here we go. This is the top post. Sequels too late? ? So
critical.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Do you guys want me to read this whole thing?
I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
Okay,
I just want to know the mind of an Avatar fan.
Okay, so this is the original post. Sequels too late? Hi all, I'm new here. I'm sure this has been discussed for ages, but here it goes anew. We all know that the Avatar franchise has had its endless ups and downs, ebbs and flows, and stops and starts since Avatar set commercial and critical records way back in 2009, 2010. Presidents, four British prime ministers, and innumerable other newsworthy events. Some reasons for Avatar's troubles. Studio ownership changes, competing franchises, James Cameron's unrelenting technological innovations, cast member scheduling conflicts.
This is James Cameron posting.
Yes. COVID-19. It seems that there's no discernible determination to the reality of an Avatar sequel ever getting released. I know it's supposed to happen way off in December 2022, over 1.5 years from today. As it happens, it will be a full 13 years between Avatar and Avatar 2. Does anyone realistically think that there will be any audience interest in even going to see Avatar 2 or movies, period, after such a long hiatus? COVID-19 fundamentally changed our attitudes and practices towards cinemas. So many other movies from 2020 onward, big and small, were indefinitely delayed after most cinemas were shuttered due to COVID-19 restrictions. I like this person is just reporting the news. Some studios toyed with simultaneously streaming new movies, perhaps with extra fees attached, and limited cinematic releases.
What?
In my humble opinion, these hybrid releases had middling returns at best versus what they would have made in ordinary times. As such, most studios took wait-and-see approaches by shelving most of the big tent poles until COVID-19 fears and restrictions are lifted. Given all the difficulties, Disney remains committed to the December 22 schedule for Avatar 2. I'm personally curious about returning to Pandora and exploring it more. Avatar was such a new thing in 2009.
Oh my God.
Nevertheless, significant gaps between movies has tempered my
interest in some other franchises.
Like 5 sentences.
Okay.
Particularly sequels, but not so much reboots or spin-offs. I'm afraid Avatar is no exception. In other cases, by the time long-promised new entries hit cinemas, my interest in these other franchises was nil. On the other hand, my interest in some long-running franchises, they name all these things, have ebbed and flowed. I might have kept up with them in theaters, but more so out of loyalty than genuine excitement, especially after we started getting into 4 or 5 sequels, multiple standalone spin-offs or reboots, a TV series. It's called saturation or diminishing returns. After all I said above, at this point, after over a decade of waiting, do we really want an Avatar sequel, let alone multiple Avatar sequels? Do most of us have any genuine excitement about the long-delayed universe of Pandora?
And what's the first reply?
Yeah,
I hope it's just someone saying like, yes.
Get fucked.
So this is, I mean, all of the responses are multiple sentences.
Okay.
The very first response is for the, the very first response is the same person.
Okay.
It's
another two paragraphs.
Holy shit.
I do not think my joy is as pure as his is, or my passion for Avatar is as pure as his. So no, I don't think that's an accurate example.
Oh, this is good. This is good. I'll skip most of this one, but the first real reply says, first of all, welcome to the forums. So will there be any audience? I think there will be. I think enough people who are able to see the originals in theaters will want to see future outings and not over a streaming service. And then they say some other stuff. And then the way they sign it off is great. That is what I'm most curious about when December 2020. That is what I'm most curious about when December 2022 comes around, barring any unforeseen event preventing me from seeing the movie.
What?
It's always a good way to just like if I'm alive, then we'll see how it goes. It's
what's the guy's username? Is it Avatar related?
The guy's the original username is JAvatar2021.
Okay.
And then the first response, this first responder was empty glass.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. All right. So, and then wow. some other people are just kind of going back and forth about whether or not they're into it.
And this is on Tree of Souls, right?
This Tree of Souls. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people
right
like
now,
to reply
actually.
To themselves. Yeah. CamCam777 wrote about a 3-paragraph response and then another paragraph responding to themselves. Oh, this is a good one. Someone wrote, it's been 84 years, strike, 12 years, and I can still smell the fresh flowers blooming outside the fence of Hell's Gate.
I mean, I just plugged in Tree of Souls into my browser and it auto-filled to, I guess, I've been there recently. I've been to treeofsouls.com and it was a thread entitled Ways to Cope with the Depression of the Dream of Pandora Being Intangible. So, yeah. I'm gonna make an account right now. But
this is good too. I understand the weight has impacted us all differently, and I totally get why some in the span of 12 years have moved on. People get married, start a career, pass away, online fandoms die. It's like I moved on from Avatar because I'm dead. That's why I moved on. I passed away. I'm gone. Yeah. This is great.
I just like there being like specific message boards for things still because
that's what this person writes. They're like,
know?
While I don't check in here often, I always keep an eye on the forum. I know the layout isn't as popular today as it was back in 09, 2010. Facebook groups, Discord, et cetera, seem to be more popular these days. However, I'll always prefer a forum to express my fandom on. Plus, I appreciate that this one has been kept open for so many years. And then someone replied, I refuse to move on.
I'm trying to register and it says the connection is not secure. So any username or password could be okay. So maybe I'm not going to register here, but there is a question you have to answer when you register. And it's what's the first name of the main male character in Avatar or the full name. Jake. I believe it's Jake Sully.
It's Jake Sully. Yeah,
I believe. So,
I didn't even know that.
Played by Sam Worthington.
The person who replied this morning had a really good one too.
There was a post this morning.
Yeah, yeah. This is the one. That's why I found this one. This is the one that was the one that has the most recent reply.
Oh my God.
So this person, because they started talking about how their lives have changed. This guy writes, in the 12 years since the film came out, I've also developed substantially from high school student to an aeronautical engineer and a Marine. Some of my views have stayed the same. Others have changed as I am willing to adjust my beliefs when presented with sufficient and compelling evidence.
Okay.
And his location is Quantico, Virginia.
Wow. I'm in the I did go to the general forums because it's always you can always judge a message board by like the off topic forum. I guess this is the general forums, the debate forum. And the top thread is a sticky thread called A Guide to Debating by Spock. Posted by username Spock, who obviously has Spock as his profile picture. I mean, this is just pure early 2010s, late 2000s internet, and hook this to my veins. I love this.
The general portion of any like very specific forum, like there's a sneeze fetish forum. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I like that you said that. Like we probably would be. Right? I mean, you guys are probably familiar.
There's a chance that I was familiar.
Really, I mean, yeah, that's actually true. With Stefan, I'm constantly amazed at what he is familiar with. But, so that's fair.
Yeah, so but like in the really good shit is like in like the like off topic rooms, because like during the debates too, like they would be like talking about like Trump versus Hillary, and then like they'd start talking about how like Trump kept sniffing and it was getting them kind of turned on, and they like didn't know how to feel about that, and there's just like so much like good overlap with like the real world and their sneeze fetish, and like it's a perfect like microcosm.
That's a good point. Everybody sneezes, right? So yeah. That's I just want to, we'll put a bow on this and move on to our social media updates. This is so I was on the Avatar Forum's Twitter page and then I went to their tweets and replies. This is the last tweet that the Avatar @AvatarForums on Twitter has done.
Yeah.
This is from January 20th, 2020. And they're replying to a CNET article. So it's a link to the article and the caption is just, what if a stranger could snap your picture on the sidewalk, then use an app to quickly discover your name and address? A startup called Clearview AI has made that possible. And Avatar Forums just replied, this is quite disturbing. #privacy. So that's the last Avatar Forms post on Twitter. Thank you for your service, Avatar. And speaking of thanking people for their service, let's move on to our social media updates.
What a good segue.
Boy, was it smooth.
Stefan and John
are gonna bring you the news. Prepare for a feast of rarefied takes. Terrible tweets from verified greats. They'll bring their personal feed to ya with an update on their
social
media.
I don't know if that was a fair segue or not, but anyway, here we are, Ashley. We always start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
What's going on my social media? I actually just got blocked last night by this girl who I just discovered this week. Eve Barlow, have you even seen her tweets?
This is like a bonus, like,
so this is like
then.
Separate from your block tail. I love this.
I've seen some. She's the lady who's sort of like whining about like celebrities, but like her, she's like, hey, The Weeknd, you're on notice, you know, because you said Palestine.
Here we go.
Yeah,
21.1k followers. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
if Zionism is political, so is a queer person's right to marry their partner or a woman's right to equal pay. Just wanted to clarify that. That was when like she first really got on my radar. And I'm trying
Aren't
to see
those what, are political though, right?
Like, I know it's completely baffling. I have no idea what the fuck she was trying to say.
Yeah, I've just seen her get quote tweeted a lot. And then the one I saw recently was that she was, I mean, this sort of goes hand in hand with what I mentioned earlier, but she was posting screen grabs of like, here's what's going on in my mentions right now. It's so horrible. And it's everyone calling her Eve Fartlow instead of.
Yeah, one of her most recent tweets says, this morning I posted on Instagram an example of the thousands of death threats I've received overnight. It was removed because it violates community guidelines. You're trying to erase every trace of us with your social media platforms, and you won't.
The tweet she did that I got blocked for was, I continue to be absolutely flabbergasted that the people I do know with platforms are going out of their way not to promote my work, which has been recognized by the Jewish world, and instead are choosing to promote anti-Zionist children who are denouncing their Judaism. Insane. And I quote tweeted it with like... I like joke like, oh, this is me every time I tweet about Under the Dome, and she blocked me instantly, which I was commiserating with her. I don't understand why she was so mad.
Is Under the Dome the Stephen King one?
Like, oh yeah, it was so that's like a genuinely fucking awful show that is like the greatest show that's ever been created for TV. It's nothing about it is good. It is like a perfect experience.
Well, the one thing I remember from that being good was I think the dome came down and like sliced a cow in half or something.
Sure did. That cow got sliced right in half.
That was kind of cool. That sort of reminded me of like that Jennifer Lopez movie, The Cell, you know?
I don't remember that.
Where like someone gets like kind of vivisected or you know whatever the term is, but I thought that was kind of cool. And it's got Hank from Breaking Bad in it, right? So
there's also this like magic egg that everyone's looking for at one point. It's nothing makes sense. It's perfect.
I watched The Stand on I guess it's on Hulu in the States, but like Amazon Prime up here or whatever. Or maybe not Hulu, it's like a CBS, whatever the CBS streaming one is. And I enjoyed that show, but it is very funny that it feels like it's trying to feel like a prestige show, you know what I mean? But it feels like a prestige show within a show because some of the special effects aren't that great, and it just feels like, you know, it's not going as far as a show on like HBO or whatever would. And so there's always that, because I think it was on like CBS or something, or their streaming service at least, right? So
that sounds right.
Yeah, so we ended up watching all the episodes except the final one because we're kind of just like, it's sort of like petering out, you know? It's a little weird, but it was fine. But I don't know.
It's like Under the Dome, like the actors are just like, the acting was like so bad. Like it was like, especially like the kid Joe, the like main kid was like the worst actor I've ever seen in my entire life. And I don't understand how you cast someone like that.
Whenever I see Dean Norris too, I just think about his post where he just posted sex gifts and then stayed offline for like a year. I don't know if you remember that, but like, if the post is still up, if you just search his tweets for sex gifts, he just posted that and then just like went offline for like a year and then sort of came back. And it sort of reminds me. Remember the guy from World's Wildest Police Chases or whatever, it might have been America's Most Wanted, Sheriff John Bunnell. he's got like the kind of the white, the very white hair, and he's got like a very like distinct voice, and he would like narrate. Dan, you would know, was it World's Wildest Police Videos or was it America's Most Wanted?
Yeah, it was Police Videos, and he was on some early episodes of Cops as well.
Right. And so he would like narrate that stuff. And then Ashley, you probably have seen these posts, but it was him replying to like this psychic woman online and then posting a picture of her profile picture and then saying like, I need to see you. And this is in like 2014, and he's never posted again since then. I mean, what a way to go out.
Yeah, I wonder what he needed to talk to her about.
I think he was just like quite, it did seem like he was maybe very drunk. If you look at some of his posts.
That doesn't mean he didn't need to speak to her about something.
I mean, he knows about like solving crimes and mysteries and stuff. So maybe he had a crime that needed solving. But I mean, he is missed on Twitter because he had some very, very good posts. And he was like randomly like a Bernie Sanders supporter too, which you would not expect like a big, like pro cop guy to be. It was very strange. But I mean him and Dean Norris is posting again. He rolled with the punches. The other one, I'm sure, John, I don't know if you'll know this post, but Ashley, I think you'll know this for sure. It was Josh Talking Points memo when he posted like the Pornhub link.
Strawberry, and I forgot what it was exactly, but the tweet was like, and they did say targeting close associates, and it's still up. He hasn't deleted it.
I respect that so much. Like I don't agree with his politics necessarily because he seems like kind of a centrist weirdo guy, but he
sucks. But I will always like have a soft spot in my heart for him because he refused to delete his porn post.
It's incredible. Like it is still up to this day. A link to, I'm gonna look it up right now because I do want to see.
I looked up recently. Actually, I think the video got taken down.
Oh really?
I think so.
But maybe the title's in the link or something. We can like infer what the. Okay. Sometimes a weird porno being posted is almost better in your own imagination than actually seeing it.
The video has been taken down, and it unfortunately does not have the title in the URL.
Strawberry and something.
It was strawberry, and the first reply is you, Ashley. Hey, Josh, not sure if you meant to tweet that. Let me know. You are the first reply under that. So
I remember that night so clearly. I was so okay. Here was, I Googled like Josh Marshall Strawberry, and it's my tweet that came up. It says Angela and Strawberry expressing their love for one another. But so it must have been Angela and Strawberry something.
Yeah. It was.
Congrats to them wherever they are. I hope they're happy.
And Josh also posted it from his iPad too, which I think is that that takes it up another level that he is watching porno on his iPad. That's just very
and
funny to me.
And copying the links, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
convenient,
that's
easier
so
to bring
good.
Into the bathroom, you know, maybe he's there, you know, maybe he jacks off into the toilet. So
yeah. He might
like just
you know?
A nice,
yeah.
It's easier to bring in than like a laptop, you know? So,
you know, that's the last time I was genuinely purely happy about something was Josh Marshall's porn tweet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and yeah, that was, 2016, December 30th, 2016. So
it's all been downhill from there.
My update this week, I was quite happy about this video. And I don't know if you've seen this, Ashley, but there was a court hearing, being like broadcast. It was on Zoom. And I think this judge has gone viral for videos before for like yelling at people or just being kind of weird or funny. And what this video is, and I mean, it's obviously like to our listeners, it's great if you can see the video because it's good to see people's reactions and stuff. But the audio will get the point across. But what happens here is that someone joins the Zoom call, joins the hearing. And I think probably what happened is they're using someone else's phone or computer, or someone pranked them and changed their Zoom name to something other than their name. Have you seen this, Ashley?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Dan, let's pull up the video here.
Then we'll bring this fool in.
So you can see the name in the bottom. Yeah. There.
Good morning, sir. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Nathaniel Saxon, sir.
Your name's not Buttfucker 3000, yo-ho. My court with that is your name. Why would that discuss that in a little bit? What kind of idiot logs into court like that? What's your name again?
Nathaniel Saxton, sir, but I don't believe that I said anything like that.
Man. Well, that's what it says.
Why? That's just not.
Yeah, you should. I'll put you in the waiting room. You can sit in limbo for a while and think about what you put yourself online. Mr. Grossnickel, could you take your hat off, please? All right.
What is that?
Earlier date, but he's here now.
That's so good.
Good morning, everyone. We got.
I think that's it, Dan.
God.
What? I mean, this is already fucking weird to me that you'd have some sort of court proceeding on Zoom.
Well, I think it's more that it's being like streamed live somewhere. Uh-huh. But I think it's like, you know, our friend of the show, Chris James, used to just go to like court hearings in downtown Vancouver just to like watch them. Right. So I think it's the same sort of thing where it's just like people can't go down into the court. So it is being like broadcast somewhere for, you know, whatever purpose. But I mean, that is just, it's so funny that he actually read the name too. I mean,
that's what makes it for sure. I was not expecting the judge to say, and he just, he's so calm about it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think like the Nathaniel, like the guy whose name was Buttfucker 3000 did seem genuinely taken aback, and he sounded like quite like apologetic and like professional about it.
Yeah.
So I do think that was someone like pranking him.
Well, cause it didn't look like he changed his name either. Like whoever was in charge of the Zoom call, cause he didn't pick up his phone. You know, presumably if you're changing your Zoom name, because it looked like he was on a phone, you'd have to pick up your phone, you'd have to type in.
And
like,
he's in the waiting room, so he, so I feel like he was using someone else's phone, or someone had his phone and his account and changed the name to, like, fuck with him. Or he was, like, doing, like, a Zoom games night with his friends and changed his name there and forgot to change it back, you know?
Yeah.
But I was upset at how joyless the rest of the Zoom participants seemed. Like I was looking for anyone who was like cracking a smile or laughing. They were all just like stone faced.
There was one guy who laughed like when the guy got kicked off the call.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think, and there was one guy who sort of like leaned out of the way of the camera, cause I think he was like stifling a laugh, but everyone else was, I think probably because they know this judge is like very serious.
Yeah.
Cause like right after that, he's like, hey, take your hat off in my Zoom courtroom. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just think court is maybe like the one place where you would like, you know, you'd be able to not laugh because you'd just be like, oh shit, I'm in court. Like I can't laugh or do anything.
Like, that would make me want to laugh more because like in being in like nervous or stressed situations, like my immediate instinct is just like smile like a fucking idiot. So like, I can't imagine not like making an appropriate response.
I love that. I mean, Buttfucker 3000 is just, it's such a funny name. It's just
super funny.
Like Buttfucker by itself, I think would have been great. And then just having really, 3000 just takes it over to the edge. Like it's just, it's so
it's not
perfect.
Even about a millennium thing with 2000. It's like 3000. Like this 3000. Is like the latest model, top of the line.
The future of buttfucking.
Yeah. Yeah. God, that's so good.
It's great stuff.
John, what's going on in your social media?
Well, I saw a tweet this week that was very funny to me for multiple reasons. This was actually brought up in my, so Stefan, you and I have brought up on the show before that we, you know, we have accounts on NBA Top Shot, which for those of you, if this is your first time listening to the show, Ashley, are you familiar with Top Shot?
I'm familiar with it with NBA.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like an NFT. It's an NFT website where you can basically collect like digital trading cards, essentially of, but they're gifts. So it's like, you know, you can collect, it's a card, but it's a gif of a particular moment in a game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's been, in the news quite a bit. They've raised a lot of money and they're, you know, people are on there and making money, whatever. So, so I have a Discord that I'm in, and someone in our Discord pointed this profile out to me, which made me laugh a lot. Recently, what Top Shot did was they introduced this thing called Collector Score, which will determine your sort of eligibility for different sort of like perks and stuff on the site. And so this one guy had a particularly high collector score, meaning that he owns a lot of these digital trading cards. They're presumably worth quite a bit of money. And so he decided on the day that Top Shot launched their collector score that that would be a good thing to put in his Tinder profile. So he's known on Twitter, like his Twitter handle has Top Shot in it. So he's known as like being a, or sorry, it has NBA in it. So his Twitter handle, he goes by AG, and his Twitter handle is AG_NBA_AG. So he's obviously a big NBA fan. He's well known in Top Shot because he's, you know, a guy who obviously has a lot of moments and stuff. And so he's actually living in Vancouver right now. And this is his entire Twitter profile, which is really one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Like it just, because not enough people even know about Top Shot that this would be like a regular thing. It's like a very weird way of telling women on Tinder that you have a lot of money in a way that they would not
that very
understand.
People would understand, yeah.
Totally, whatsoever. So, but
just post your bank balance, honestly. It
exactly.
Seems like, just wait, just cut to the chase.
And this is really, I'll just be honest, the whole profile is truly incredible. So that's really what brought me. It's obviously already stupid that your Top Shot score is on your Tinder profile, but here's the whole thing. So this is, he's 40. He's a digital designer and he apparently lives in Vancouver. Here's the profile. Unfortunately, my last GF was a tramp, so I'm back on this cyber dumpster that is Tinder.
Jesus Christ.
Hell yeah. I like what's going.
Okay.
Yeah. Lover of art, design, the New York Knicks, golden retrievers, and art galleries. No, I don't want to go hiking or do the grouse grind. That's a famous hike here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
If you read this far, I'll buy you a Hermes Birkin bag or Bitcoin. Some of you ladies need to chill with the filters. Basketball emoji, NBA Top Shot collector score, 29,000 basketball emoji.
Jesus.
So,
okay. That is a very high score. Like, that is an extremely high score.
Yeah, for sure. He probably has about $1 million worth of moments likely on this site. But... you know, Ashley, as a woman, how does this sort of Tinder profile strike you, you know, as someone,
like,
you know?
I have a lot of questions about if you read this far, he'll buy you a what?
He'll buy you a Hermes Birkin bag or Bitcoin.
That's a big promise to make. I mean, all three of us deserve
I should hit this guy up on Twitter and be like, yeah, I think you owe me a bag.
I don't know what his girlfriend did.
I would love to know that. And so then this also got me in the replies. So a woman replied to him. So the weird part was I'm assuming it's mostly men who follow him just because it's, you know, he's a big Top Shot guy or whatever. A lot of the people in the replies were like, this is good. This is what a baller move. What a baller move to put your Top Shot score in your Tinder profile. Like, this is fucking sick, man. Like, you're the best, dude. However, this really got me going. Chip Dip, who is appears to be a woman based on their avatar, wrote, unsolicited advice. The first line will eliminate you immediately. And then AG replied, utmost respect for women, especially on Mother's Day.
Oh my God, this guy is incredible.
But I'm just calling a spade a spade, and he used the spade emoji.
Wow.
I like it. So. He's not giving into cancel culture. He's not letting the woke mob tell him what to say.
Yeah.
He still respects women.
He respects women. You know,
what do you want?
It was crazy because so this got posted, obviously. So this was posted on Mother's Day last Sunday as we record this. So 6 days ago. So I was sure because this came up in the Discord and I was like, this has to be my social media update this week. But then I was like, oh, well, this for sure will be deleted. Like, this will have been deleted by now. Like, it's such it's an insensitive profile.
It's very,
but no, it's still up there. It's still live. I was able to get the screenshots just this morning. So yeah, he knows what he's about, apparently. So if you're a tramp, need not apply. So
I like him. Respect to AG.
Yeah.
Oh my
nice
God.
Work, AG. Great
incredible.
Tinder profile in a way. And speaking of great profiles, let's move on to our block tale.
What did you tweet? You brought receipts. Block tale. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a block tale. Woo! You probably deserved it. It's a block tale.
Okay, Ashley, we've already got one bonus block tale. I'm excited to hear what you have for us in the main section of the show.
This is not a conventional block necessarily.
Nice.
Are you familiar with Selena Zito?
Oh, is she the lady who is always like talking to Trump supporters at gas stations?
She talks to like Trump supporters at gas stations who like no one can ever find again, and they say things like, "I was a Obama Democrat and I voted liberal my whole life until Trump came along and the leftists made me feel bad about myself, and so now I want a national state."
Yeah,
yeah. So like basically, she like is a makes shit up constantly. And
so she's like a reporter, or she's just like a person who goes
New York Post reporter. A New York Post reporter her whole shtick is going to Trump country and like framing people who have like been in like have been prominent figures in like GOP organizations their whole life as like swing voters.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. like wealthy, well-off, successful people who are on like like a county like Republican board or something, and then she's like, "Oh, this is like a liberal. This is like a hardcore liberal who loves Trump." So like, what's going on here, right? And it's all like made up, it seems, right?
Yeah, and then it takes like 10 minutes of Googling to like figure out who these people are, and also that like none of this shit ever happened. But when I was like a few years ago, I wrote like a whole thing like basically just like going through a bunch of her shit and like pointing out all the explicitly false stuff, and she blocked me then for a while because first we were texting, and then when she realized that like I was writing something a little critical, she like stopped answering my texts and then like called me and like yelled at me for 30 minutes about how I was like being rude to another like reporter, another journalist, and like how fucked up that was, and also just like trying to dissuade me from doing it. And then I did it and she blocked me, but then about a few weeks later, I noticed she had unblocked me for some reason, but so I followed her again. And then the next day I looked again and I was no longer following her. So she had clearly like done like the block, unblock thing. So that like I was forced to unfollow her. And so this went on for about, I want to say at least 3 months, where like periodically every few days I would go to check to see if I was following Selena Zito, and I never was, and I would follow her, and it's like the longest period of time she like let it go was like a week and a half, I think, to like, I think she thought I would forget, but like I wasn't ready to fucking forget. And so I like, and this was a very like, this is a very active process. It was like every few days, like I was like following her again, and she would make me unfollow her, and I couldn't figure out like when she thought she was gonna stop. And then it was like a trying to see who would yell uncle first.
Yeah.
But, so after,
you're playing chicken, like, basically. Mm-hmm,
yeah. After like 3 months, I won, because then she did finally just block me. And which I realized afterwards that now I no longer had access to her, and I was the one who had made an error the whole time. But now she's off Twitter anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
was there ever any interaction in this like 3 month period? No, did you ever tweet her?
I would tweet at her occasionally. And when I did is when I would get fully blocked for like a day or so.
But then she would unblock you after.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why she would do that too. Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I felt like she was like curious what I was doing online, but I miss her every day.
That's so funny. Like, but she's not posting anymore. Like she's not online.
It was just like a big part of my life for so long that like I really missed that sense of competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of passive aggressiveness of, who's going to blink first? Like, what's what are we going to do? I like that. I don't know that I've ever been soft blocked before. I think
Jake
like
Tapper
it's,
did it to me,
it's pretty easy on Instagram.
Really?
Sorry?
Yeah.
You got soft blocked by Jake Tapper? Tapper?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I think he thought we were like friends for a while. Like there was like one like Rosh Hashanah that he like DM'd me like Happy New Year. And I responded, I said, "Jake, I'm Protestant," just to like some of them. And he didn't reply. And then I like wrote about this thing because Jake Tapper's big thing is like he DMs any journalist who is like remotely critical of CNN or of Jake Tapper, who's like younger and like clearly like trying to make it in the industry, and just like completely chews them out. And he's just like the biggest fucking baby. And so I wrote something about how he does that. And then like the next day I looked and I was no longer following Jake Tapper.
Wow.
He was such a little bitch about it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Because I thought it was maybe like,
go ahead.
Well, there's the article that gets brought up every couple months or so that he wrote. I don't know who he wrote it for, but it's like, I mean, he's doing like Snoop Dogg style.
Oh,
no, well, I mean the Monica Lewinsky thing was pretty bad, but the he does like, I mean, it's very, very, he's writing about like politicians or like Politico writers or something, but he's saying, but in like faux shizzle, like slang.
It was for Salon. Let me see.
I mean, it is really, really rough. It's hard to read that entire thing. And I feel like he's blocked people just for bringing that up to him.
Was it the gangbanging in Medialand one?
Yes. Oh my God.
The New Republic busted cat to the New York Times backside for hoeing out on Iraq.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's just that over and over again. Yeah. It's really bad. I don't even want to. It's not good.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That hurts me to hear about. We have a more simplistic listener block this week. This one comes in from Curtis. And this is something, as a comedian, I've gone through a few times on Twitter myself. He said he was just blocked by some guy named Dwayne, whose bio was California Republican, proud American.
Okay.
And he says, Curtis says, this story could be long with context, so I'll make it shorter without much. Basically, I called a dumb guy a dork on Twitter. We called each other names a few times back and forth, and it started to get pretty heated until he discovered that my website link on my profile is the Bandcamp page of my band when I was in college. I guess I'd forgotten you can have a website link on Twitter, and it's probably been there since 2011. He offered to give me an honest review of the music, but only if I follow him, because he didn't want to be mean in public. I said I wouldn't be following him and that I could handle the truth, and he proceeded to tell me that my band sounds like a tribute band for Coldplay, which of course it doesn't. He then followed me, and now all my friends found the thread and are laughing at him. I don't know why he pivoted so quickly, but he does seem like a real weird guy, so I guess it's okay that he follows me now. I can't bring myself to block him, so hopefully my tweets make him block me. I guess I'll never know. Love the show. Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis.
So I guess there's really no block tail there, but it really...
I like it.
It just... This happens to me sometimes where people will be like, oh, I listened to your comedy album and it sucks. And I'm like, thanks for listening to it. Like, that's all. like, how is that supposed to offend me at all? Like, just that you'd be so mad at someone on Twitter that you're going to invest however many minutes. Like, my album's like 35 minutes, but, you know, I'm assuming they don't listen to the whole thing, but, you know, listen to what, 5 or 10 minutes of it to be like, this, I listened to it and it sucks. And I'm thanks.
What I think about Dwayne is he told him what he was going to do first. Like he asked if he wanted to hear it. Like he wanted to make sure that his criticism was going to be received.
Yes. Which I like that.
That's
too.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you how much this sucks, but I'd rather do it in a DM.
Oh my God. That's so great. Good. Thank you, Curtis.
So thank you, Curtis, for sending that in. If you want to send in a listener block, you can do so at blocked@blockedparty.com, or you can fill out the form on our website and it may just get read on the air. You can donate to the show at patreon.com/blockparty, where $5 a month gets you access to 3 bonus episodes every month and 1 live show. This month, our live show is going to be great. It's on May 27th with Adam Christie. He's going to be joining us to watch some bad cameos. Should be a blast. He's one of our favorites here at BPHQ. We also have a great bonus episode coming up this week with one of our also past favorite guests, Tom Hill, is going to be joining us for a little hangout. We've got a mailbag episode up with Chris James right now. We've got some other great bonus episodes on the way with our friends from What a Time to Be Alive. It's all going to be over there at patreon.com/blockparty. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram @blockedpartypod. And obviously, if you rate, review, subscribe to the show on iTunes, all of that stuff helps us with the metrics, or just tell a friend. It's always nice to get some new listeners to the show, especially after doing it for as long as we have. It's always nice. We just got a DM the other day on Patreon from someone who, Stefan, just listened to our entire back catalog.
I think
over the course of like a couple months.
Holy shit.
Then they were like, they actually wrote to us. I just signed up for the Patreon after becoming like a new fan of the show because I would like to break my brain even more. So I thought that was so nice.
It's a great
way of doing it. So yeah. So obviously if you're, you know, we love new listeners to the show. So tell your friends if the mood strikes you. Ashley, we are here at the end of the show, but we always like to finish the show with our top three. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ashley, so what topic do you have for us for a top three today?
I would like to hear the top three tweets of yours that people got the maddest about.
Ooh. Okay. John's going to have some good ones because they're going to all be his like actual opinions, I think.
That's literally just today. Like 2 months ago, I tweeted that Aaron Rodgers should be the permanent host of Jeopardy. And today someone just wrote to me, why? So yeah, I mean, oof.
Okay,
that's,
I got,
that's really good. I'm gonna have
I've
to
got kinda... it. I've got at least two lined up here, I think. Ashley, why don't you go with your number
your
three?
Number three
first.
Yeah.
Okay, one this probably isn't number three, but this is the one that came to mind was So the day that Gawker, the Hulk Hogan verdict came down, I had just written, I had written the last post that was like on the top of the site, like the right after it happened. And the post was, it was comparing, because it was saying like, BuzzFeed had just said a thing about how Ted Cruz looks like the lead singer of some like hair metal band. And so I wrote a post saying, Ted Cruz is Ted Cruz like the deceased Princess Diana, to make fun of it. Just like put a bunch of pictures of Ted Cruz next to Diana, comparing them. And so it was like a stupid post. Like I did it in 5 minutes, but then because the Hogan verdict had just happened, like thousands and thousands of people were suddenly at the site. And that was like the very first thing they saw. And they all so fucking mad. and they found a bunch of them, like Diana fans or like Gawker.
Whatever
the overlap is between people who like really fucking love Princess Diana and really hated Gawker.
Yeah.
Got like so mad at me about, saying she looked like Ted Cruz. And, that was like a very like enjoyable sort of anger because it was very unexpected. And, yeah, I think that was be one of them at least.
That's good. That's okay. I think my number three, this was one where it was one of those ones where it's like the picture of like the Disney character with all the swords surrounding him. Uh-huh. It's like what, and I think it was like what video game opinion makes you end up like this. And I was like, Mario Kart 64 fucking sucks because it does. It's very bad. And people were mad at people were pissed off at me for that. Not like I don't
agree with you. So
I know
yeah, I'm pissed off.
It didn't take it didn't take off like I had hoped maybe. But people were genuinely very mad at me for this. and I think it's because I don't usually post like actual opinions on Twitter as much. So people weren't expecting it. But like people were choked at me for sure. There's a lot of Mario Kart 64 fans out there, obviously. I think they're poisoned and blinded by nostalgia because it's not a very good game. And I do truly believe that.
What about the game is bad?
It's just, it just has not aged well. The controls are awful. You want a good racing game on N64? You've got Diddy Kong Racing or you've got San Francisco Rush. I mean, those two are just leagues better than Mario Kart 64. I truly believe that. People were mad at me for that. But not like as mad as maybe my other two posts that I've got here. John? Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one's hard because, yeah, I can't, it's not always necessarily specific things, but, I'm not so online that I like really remember exactly. Like, I'm sure there's going to be ones that listeners point out that they can remember, where I did stupid shit.
Yeah.
But one that's like, this isn't a specific tweet, but just sort of like a vibe is that I very often tweet about like violence in hockey because I have a hockey podcast and so I tweet about hockey quite a bit. And so I often tweet about how like I don't think there should be hitting in hockey, and if there's like a really dirty play in the NHL, I will often tweet about that. And you get called like really bad shit a lot.
Get
called like a wimp and a wuss and a, you know, the one this week was really very funny. I don't know if you remember, Stefan. I posted this. It was one of the dumbest replies ever. So I had done an episode of my podcast, Hockey Fight, and I quote tweeted the episode link. And I just wrote that I think open ice hitting in hockey should be banned. And at the behest of my boss at Sportsnet 650, I make my case here. The podcast is also a radio show. And this guy just replied to me and he wrote, stick to podcasts. And then I wrote, yeah, that's literally what I did. I talked about this on my podcast. So he like tried to stick to sports me, but it doesn't really work when I'm talking about. So I wrote, yeah, I did. I made the point on my podcast. And he's like, I'm trying to figure out if you're this stupid or if you're actually just this tone deaf.
What?
I was like, I still don't.
Yeah, I don't think that means what.
I don't think they know what that means.
It doesn't
means,
mean what you think it means. So, so that was like a really funny one. And I do often get that where, yeah, people will just be like, one thing is, it's like almost a 1-to-1 ratio of me talking about how I don't like violence in hockey, and someone pointing out that my pronouns are in my bio. That's always that's a one to one affair right there. Oh yeah, of course you think. Of course, yeah, he, him. Of course you think hitting shouldn't be in hockey.
Yeah,
there was one. It was really funny. Like someone had wrote something like, yeah, it was something like you don't. It was like you don't want fighting in hockey. You are a shitty comedian and you have your pronouns in your bio. Could you be any more of a bitch or something like that? And I was like, okay, yeah, great. Yeah. So that's just like a general,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah.
That happens to me quite a bit. So yeah, that's my number three. Ashley, you're number two.
I'm looking up this guy who hates me and likes to every time he gets mad at me. God, the problem is like I forget all my tweets like 30 seconds after I do them, and let me think for a second. You go next.
Okay, I can go because I have my number two here.
Yeah.
And I think some people got mad at me for this. A lot of people were like, okay, you like fooled me with this. This was back in 2016, and there was a headline going around. That was Google's clever plan to stop aspiring ISIS recruits. And what the news story was that if you searched an ISIS related term, like how do I join ISIS? Like, you know, how do I connect with ISIS? Whatever on like LinkedIn, it would redirect you to like, do you need like help? Like, how can we like help you get out of this like spiral, you know, whatever. And I posted a screen grab of the headline and then a fake screen grab of me Googling how to join ISIS. And then it says, did you mean world's smallest horse? And then there was a Google result, an image search for Einstein, the world's smallest horse. Very, very tiny and cute horse. And a lot of people thought this was real. So a lot of people started Googling how to join ISIS. And then getting mad at me for making them Google the phrase how to join ISIS and probably getting put on like a watch list. And it was to the point where, and I'll link this to you. But someone posted this in my replies that there was like a visible on Google Trends. There was a very visible spike for the search term, how to join ISIS. And there it is. If you click on that.
Fuck. Let me see.
So my bad, but a lot of people were very mad at me for tricking them into Googling how to join ISIS. I think that's my favorite thing I've ever done.
Oh, that's really funny.
But yeah, that's my number two. Ashley, do you have yours now?
Yeah. Okay. So this one,
Oh, I think you're disconnected.
Yeah.
You're, okay. Wait, hold on. Say something now.
Can you hear me?
It got choppy again.
Hello?
Here. Oh, wait.
There you go.
There we go. I think it's better now.
Really?
Yeah, you're good now.
Yeah,
okay. I think it's good now.
Are you familiar with the guy who fucked the dolphin?
Yes.
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 Yeah. So after Shape of Water won Oscar, I wanted to see what he thought of the movie because he like was clearly very passionate about human relations with water aquatic creatures.
Yeah.
And so I did a whole interview with him, basically just like asking him what he thought about the movie and like what parts of was he attracted to like the fish guy in the movie and why or why not.
Yeah.
And he was great. Like he was very good to Grace Ford, very open, loved to talk. And then for whatever reason, like a bunch of like right-wingers like Ryan Saavedra and like all like the like TPUSA idiots like really like seized on that post. They were going on about how like leftists are trying to get us to accept sex with dolphins now and it'll be any animal next and like so people got very very excited about like having something like genuinely immoral that like the entire left now loves to like point to. And there was like a period of like a week where like I was like the sex with dolphin girl, which was exciting for me, but
yeah, that's so good.
Ryan
Saavedra is so funny to me because his profile picture used to be his like daily caller or whatever, like like reporter picture, and then it got made fun of so much that he changed it to like a caricature of himself. which was just, I mean, if you saw any of his posts when he had his old avatar, the first reply would always be someone just posting his profile picture. I did that several times. It's incredible.
It stays constantly. Like, it's God. Have you ever seen him speak? Like, he's like so much dumber than you anticipate.
He sounds so stupid. I mean, he,
incredible.
He sounds so dumb. It's really, really funny. But yeah, that's great. John, what's your number two?
My number two is actually fairly recent because, you know, I sort of got involved in a thing recently where a particular person kind of got canceled through the website, twitter.com. And, Stefan, we were sort of nebulously involved in this situation. So without really trying to belabor the point in any way, you know, I tweeted about that and, people really rushed to this guy's defense. What I learned is basically what happened is Stefan and I have had two of our main podcast conceit has been copied by two horrible people, and they're making like triple the amount of money that we are doing the exact same thing, but just from a right wing perspective, and so that was already stupid enough. And then another guy who turned out to be a regrettable man also took our idea for a podcast and had the same title and everything like that. So I tweeted about this and, people just don't seem to think it matters when other people like just copy your podcasts. I learned that quite a bit. I think people just think that podcasts aren't like real. Like this is like, you know, I make as much money off of this as I do teaching. Like it's a, you know, it's a job for us. We take it really seriously and people just generally seem to think like, oh, you fucking whiner, you know, podcasts are podcast, anyone can do anything, it doesn't matter.
I don't know if that's a commentary on teaching or on podcasting.
Both, but, I think. Yeah. I think it's both is pretty bad. So it was just very weird. Like most people were quite supportive of us, but there were definitely people who got in my mentions to defend this person who appears to be an abuser. You know, to be like, you know, come on. That's just parallel thought. It doesn't matter, you know? And so people got pretty mad at me that day. And that was very funny to me.
I'm so excited. I don't know what your number one is going to be. I'm so excited for it though.
Mine?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure it. Maybe you can tell me. I'm trying to figure out what my number one is going to be.
I'll try and think of something for you as well. Ashley, do you have your number one?
Yeah. My number one, this was right after, John McCain had, I forgot exactly what it was. He was voted against whatever healthcare bill was.
When he did the big like thumbs down. And, yeah. Like, yeah.
Or no, it was after that. Cause he thumbs down. So like the bill could go to another vote. And then in that vote, he voted it against it.
Right.
And so it was like completely pointless in theater. But, And so I tweeted that, I tweeted congrats to, John McCain's like daughter and wife on their upcoming tax-free inheritance. And I had forgotten actually that he had just been diagnosed with brain cancer. Cause I was just like talking about the fact that like he was like 300 years old. And then as soon as I tweeted it, people were like responding to it. Like I just said like something like very like big, or like I had like done something just like very like edgy and I didn't understand. And then I was like, oh motherfucker. he just got diagnosed with brain cancer and like people were so like Meghan McCain was tweeting at me. My boss got really mad, made me like say something. being like, I should have been so crass. The one thing I did regret about it was that I got it slightly wrong because Cindy McCain has actually had more money than him, so it wouldn't have really been an issue. So I do regret getting that wrong. People, God, were so fucking mad. He'll still like tweet at me like, oh, like you were like glad John McCain died. I was like, yeah, I mean, I was.
My number one is sort of similar. It involves a conservative person dying. And it was earlier this year when Rush Limbaugh passed away. And I tweeted, like right after the news came out, I said, Rush Limbaugh got hit by a train and exploded. He crapped himself right before the train hit him also. And the train was filled with dog poop. And people got so fucking mad at me for this. And if you, I mean, you look at the post, there are just so many replies in the show hidden replies section, and a lot of replies from, you know, suspended accounts now, or this tweet violated the Twitter rules or whatever. I mean, my post is still up, which is great.
But what are you mad about specifically? Like the fact that it, like, dog shit was involved, or
I think it's just, it was just like, you know, like, oh, real classy, you know, like liberals are just like so classy, you know, like, but the then, you know, left. But they would, I mean, the funniest thing is when people try to do the thing where they reply and are like, oh, ratioed, you know, because I guess what they're thinking is that, like, they will get a bunch of faves from, like, the conservatives who are, like, supporting them. And there was one guy, like a kid, I guess, like a teenager, who replied like, oh, ratioed much. And he got zero faves, zero retweets, and like four replies from my followers making fun of him. And there were like 9,000 likes on mine. So I don't think you really know. I guess it technically is a ratio.
Is it? It is.
It's just like not the ratio he was expecting. but the best part of this is like there were a lot of like angry conservatives in my replies. And then just a lot of my followers like clowning on them in their replies. So, I mean, it just spiraled out of control. It's just, God. I mean, it's so funny. My favorite one is it's so funny, saying praying for your polluted soul. And the first reply is someone,
that's what I do every night.
Of course, someone named Josh D saying, a man crapped himself to death. Now is not the time. Which I just love.
Shout out to Josh.
I think part of it is that that's, I have the blue check mark. And so that obviously will drive like conservatives insane. Because they'll be like, oh, I've never heard of you. Like, why do you have the blue check mark? You know? So that's part of it. And then also, I think I was one of the first people to post about his death, and that's what it was. Yeah. And so everyone was seeing it. But it's great. You know, I mean, it's just so much fun, but people were fucking mad at me for that one.
Henry Kissinger is going to be fucking incredible. People are going to get, God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, we're drums, obviously.
It's just like, weird. It is this like weird thing where there are just people who believe that you cannot speak ill of someone dying. It doesn't matter what they did in life. Like, it's like, you know, if Twitter was around when Hitler died, people would be like, okay, you probably shouldn't say too much.
Please just
exactly.
He's self-harmed. Can we just like not?
Yeah, exactly. His wife is also dead too. How about you think about her and her family right now? Like, it's just this weird thing where it's like, no, you, if people were bad, it can, it's okay.
Like Rush Limbaugh was like famously a very bad person.
Yeah. And, like, it just, and it doesn't, I just make remember any
when,
sense.
When it happened, like Eric Erickson wrote an article where he's like, well, he bought my wife an iPhone. Okay. Yeah. That's great. Thanks, all right, Eric. Then. Yeah. John, what's your number one? Did you figure
it
out?
I've talked about this on the show before, so I'm surprised it didn't come to my mind right away, but the whole Miley Cyrus incident.
Huh? I don't know.
People got very mad at me for this. So Ashley, this was back in October, and Miley Cyrus had done, they were doing like a benefit concert for one of the venues in LA. I want to say the Troubadour or something, or it was maybe all the like independent music venues in LA or something like that. They were doing like a charity live stream for it. And Miley Cyrus covered Zombie by the Cranberries. I just did a very simple thing where I just like quote tweeted another account that had screen capped it. And I was like, this kicks ass. You know, what a great cover. I love Miley kind of thing. And it somehow went viral and people got so fucking mad at me. Like, I even wrote a reply being like, I don't care if you think like that Miley is bad. Like, I didn't post this to have a referendum about whether or not Miley is good. Like, this is one of my favorite replies, which this is one of the dumbest things anyone's ever said to me. If you are impressed by this cover, try listening to the Cranberries performing it. Like, what? Like, what are you? it's a cover. I mean, yes. The Cranberries version is, it wasn't like I was like, whoa, this song is 100 times better than the Cranberries version.
You just said
I was like, this
cover.
Song kicks ass and I can't believe Miley was able to cover it successfully. And then, yeah, it's just like so many people in my replies, like this one's very, I love when people are so like sentence fragmenty on Twitter, like band did well, vocal is inferior to the original by a lot. Facts.
A lot of tweets to write. He can't.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so stupid. Like, I just couldn't believe it. And then I think I talked about this actual guy on the show before, who had his avatar is a picture of the lead singer of Disturbed, David Draiman.
Oh boy.
And he just wrote, "She undercuts every long raw moment with needless flares, and it feels like she overforces her lyrics at other times, brackets 107. Her cover interpretation is much like Adam Lambert's Queen, and it's just so similar to the original while lacking in the places that count. Like, no offense, but there's no point where I'd be like, oh yeah, I really just want to hear Miley's rendition of Zombie." And then they just keep going on and on, and like, it just, anyway, it was just so insane that like people just started. It's like, I tweeted it on a Sunday. I didn't even think anyone was online. I was like, oh, it just, it got so fucked up. So anyway, that was my, that was the time people got the most mad at me, and I didn't even say anything controversial.
That's incredible.
So. That's great. That's a great top three.
Thank you. Awesome top three, Ashley. Great to have you back on the show. As always, before we go, is there anything that you would like to plug?
My Substack newsletter, Trashberg. It's the name, I hated it at first, but then I couldn't think of anything else. And now it's just, I've lost all ability to judge it. But
I think it's a great name, personally.
Thank you.
And playing Guess the Mouth is so much fun as well. It's gotten really nasty, by the way.
Yeah, oh God, I'm using that since this weekend's out. Get mad at me.
And people can find that just at trashberg.substack.com, correct?
Trashberg.com.
Oh, just URL. Wow, just going straight to the full URL.
Only $5. I was shocked that it wasn't going for a higher price, but yeah.
Nice work. Okay, so head out to head. I've got a lot of like vocal mumbles today.
It's okay. Yes,
head over to trashberg.com to check that out. And people can follow you on Twitter just at Ashley Feinberg, correct?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Awesome. So make sure you check that out. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, you can donate to the show at patreon.com/blockparty. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at blockpartypod. We'll see you back here next week. Goodbye.